Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Gooden, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Osier continue their discussion on the Schmalkald Articles, looking at Section 3, Article 12 on the Church. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Osier.
All right, welcome back, gentlemen. It's been a while since we've recorded, and everybody's been listening to episodes from our Being Lutheran conference, and that was a great time, wasn't it?
I thoroughly enjoyed that day. In fact, I enjoyed it way more than I expected to. We kind of went through a little bit of a mini crisis for about a month ahead as registration numbers were down, but we had over 60 there on the day. It felt like a real conference because it was a real conference, and again, I can't say enough. Yeah. To both Gretchen Ronovic and to Flame, they crushed it. They knocked it out of the park.
They really did.
Yeah. Exceeded expectations.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. In fact, the first three comments I received once we finished the conference and started mingling is, what's next year's topic?
Yeah, I've had that question a lot, too. Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, let's pump the brakes a little bit. We'll see at this point in time.
Right. Send donations.
One of the realities is that conference was in part due to an anonymous donor who funded a major part of it, which allowed it to happen, and the willingness and availability of both Gretchen and Flame on the same day, and to reschedule because I accidentally scheduled on Friday instead of Saturday, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will say I did not fully appreciate how my new teaching schedule at school eats up hours in a different way than my full-time pastoring schedule ate up hours. And so we've delayed recording until the 11th hour to get our new episodes out. Mm-hmm. We decided, opted to chew through all of the conference episodes instead of save them in the bank. And that's been good, but we are ready, much like Arnold Schwarzenegger, we are back, we'll be back.
Right. Mm. Yeah, we're overdue to record. And I think I saw both of you this last week, and both of you said, is this the first time I've seen you since the Being Lutheran conference?
Yeah, 2 months.
It's been a while, yeah.
So. And I can't tell you, Brett, how much I missed you. You know? I see Jason every day, and it is just not the same.
Yeah.
Not the same
thing. Adam's dealing with some childhood drama, having to see me on a daily basis.
It's good to be back with you guys. Good to laugh together. We probably have more fun than our listeners. I don't know. But,
guaranteed. Yeah. Guaranteed.
Good stuff. But I don't know if everybody remembers, but a long, long time ago, we were talking about the Schmalkald Articles.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to kind of stretch our mental muscles again to get back into that. Last time we recorded a normal quote-unquote episode, we were in article 3.11. There we go. Yep. I almost said article 11. But
yeah, article 3.11.
3.11. There you go. But so today we are on 3.12 on the church. So are you guys ready to jump in?
I've never been more ready.
I literally was just going to say that. Makes me angry. Now I don't have anything to say. Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, you're
right. Whatever.
Let's go.
Just
all right.
Read.
Good. All right. So I'm reading the Schmalkald Articles 3.12 on the church. And it says, we do not concede to the papists that they are the church, for they are not. Nor shall we pay attention to what they command or forbid in the name of the church. For, thank God, a 7-year-old child knows what the church is. I love that line.
Yeah. What do you really mean?
Okay. The 7-year-old child knows what the church is, namely, holy believers and sheep who hear the voice of their shepherd. So children pray, I believe, in one holy Christian church. Its holiness does not consist of surplices, tonsures, albs, and other ceremonies of theirs, which they have invented over and above the Holy Scriptures, but it consists of the Word of God and true faith. And that's the extent of this article today.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
And this is, again, this is one of those landmarks in the Schmalkald Articles where we've already got a pretty well-established theology in the Book of Concord. It's a good time to maybe remind ourselves that Luther is writing the Schmalkald Articles because Elector John, I forget which one it is at this point, if it was John the Steadfast or his son, commissioned it because he thought the Augsburg Confession was too weakly worded.
Yeah. I was going to ask you to comment on that because you said something similar in your talk out at the AFLC Pastors Conference that happened recently from this recording. And I appreciated how you said that and just kind of, you know, there's the maybe vanilla ice cream Melanchthon and then the... sprinkles? What kind of flavor ice cream would Luther be?
Well, it's a
green tea.
Yeah.
Mixed with a little red bean.
With like cayenne pepper.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
It's Melanchthon goes straight to the thing. And I wonder, I don't know enough as historical theology to do any more than speculation. Mm-hmm. I kind of wonder, based on my 21st century context, if that opinion by Luther's kind of boss, per se, is more of a reflection of his opinion of Melanchthon's personality rather than the actual nature of the Augsburg Confession.
Right, yeah.
Where Luther's bombastic, Luther has celebrity. Melanchthon's kind of your behind-the-scenes, good soldier kind of a guy. I think, to be honest, the Augsburg Confession is strongly worded at several points in time, and I think it's done with clarity and it's well done. But I can understand if they're really gearing up for a conference, which is why Luther's writing the small called articles, is he is hoping the Pope will call a general council of the church, that they will have another opportunity to defend themselves on an official basis, much like they did at the Diet of Augsburg, and that the force of Luther's personality will help kind of communicate what the Lutherans believe. You remember, at the Augsburg Confession, at the presentation of the Augsburg Confession during the Diet of Augsburg, Luther's in hiding, and he's communicating with Melanchthon in secret, encouraging Melanchthon to stand strong in the other Lutherans who are there. But Luther is in hiding because they suspect the Roman Catholic Church are laying in wait to assassinate Luther, which would mean the whole Reformation movement would be derailed.
Junker George.
Junker York.
Yeah, I love that. Love that episode. Mm. Yeah, and so, you know, this article here, Adam, it's getting into, you know, the nature of the church, and I love how I said, you know, a 7-year-old knows what the church is, but what was it?
Well, okay, yeah. I'm going to just say this. When you're talking about Melanchthon and Luther, do they not remind you a little bit, and this is not intended to put one political candidate over another, but Donald Trump versus Paul Ryan. Do you remember Paul Ryan?
Yeah, wow.
Nothing more milquetoast than Paul Ryan. Yeah. Brilliant man. Really thought well about a lot of things, as I understood him. But that's what it reminds me of. You know, like you've got Melanchthon, who's like Paul Ryan, like the policy wonk guy. You know, that's just kind of nerdy and really intelligent, knows his business well. And then you've got Donald Trump with these, you know, what would you call it? Hyperbole? You know, 7-year-old child would know that. I mean, really? Come on, man. You know,
right.
It's like Donald and Connell.
only to make theology great again.
Yes. Oh, man. I did not expect a Donald Trump
impersonation.
Yeah, this
is not where I thought you were going.
No, that's all I could think of for a little bit. I had to get it out or it wouldn't. we couldn't continue. What were you going to ask about 7-year-old children?
I was just
going to
say, you know, really the question here in this article is about the nature of the church. And in that historical moment, you know, they were wrestling with, are we going to be, are we creating a new church? Are we going to reform the Roman Catholic Church? So just kind of touch on that here as we look at this topic.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, that whole idea, and it's interesting that he says this, is like the holiness of the church does not consist in surplices or tonsures, long albs, or other ceremonies of theirs that they've invented over and above the Holy Scriptures. That was the key phrase there. Because there wasn't anything necessarily wrong with some of these things. I mean, the form of the Catholic worship wasn't necessarily the issue. The issue was the form as it went beyond the Scriptures. And that's where it became a problem for the history. And that's where Luther, you know, there was a moment, and maybe you can touch on this more in depth, Jason, but there was a moment where the question mark was, are we going to reform into something brand new, or can we fix what's there? And ultimately, the decision was made that we need to break entirely from. And, you know, the Catholics doubled down on their, you know, their tradition over Scripture, which, you know, held to a whole bunch of other things that were not scriptural. And finally, we have to go. But he didn't have a problem with the worship itself. He in fact, kept a lot of that. If you go to a Lutheran service today, one of the things that I noticed when I was in the ministry in Pittsburgh, we did have a very what people would call in some circles, oh, that's very Catholic. You know, we had the singing responses, we had the albs, we had everything else. But what we had was a lot of Catholics who would come to our church and feel comfortable in the sense of like they could kind of follow the worship. But one of the things that was said regularly in new members class, it's interesting how you guys talk from the Bible. and growing up Protestant, yeah. That's like, how is that interesting? That's like going to a doctor's office. It's interesting that you know so much about medicine.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was interesting to me. So that was kind of the history there. And yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's important in this, in what Adam is saying, there was a point when the Lutherans broke off and said, we're no longer in fellowship. We're not even going to try. We're our own thing. Even in that, Luther always, and he consistently insisted that the break-off church was the Roman Catholic Church, that he always viewed what the Lutherans were doing as being in line with the historic church, as being in line with the scriptures. And this is really important for us to recognize in the 21st century, because I think by and large, the broad Protestant understanding of the Reformation is that Luther gave us license to start new things. And subsequently, almost every other movement in the church for the last 500 years has been, let's try this new thing and see if we finally get it right. Mm-hmm. So that the problem with Protestantism today, and I don't use that word like as a pejorative, but like—
You're not
like,
talking, are you talking about the notorious GAC?
No, or I'm talking just about anything.
Just anything, okay.
You know, so your options, really, you've got three waves in the church. You're Greek Orthodox— which, you know, they have a claim to historic church, and then their breakoff is in the 11th century with the Great Schism. You've got the Roman Catholics who claim, you know, the founding on St. Peter in the scriptures, the Office of the Keys. And you have Protestants. Those are your three major Christian groups. And you say what you want about the Coptic Church and things like that, but the three major movements are the Eastern Orthodox, the Roman Catholic, and the Protestants. And the Protestants misunderstand the Reformation in two directions. One, they see the Reformation as an ultimate rejection of Roman Catholicism. And so that's where you get the iconoclasts who get rid of images, get rid of the pageantry and the ceremonies of the church. And then the whole thing we just talked about how we're starting something new. And so you have this flavor, and this is where we'll actually get into the notorious GAC, especially in America, that each one of these uber-specific, very narrow splinter groups is trying to get Christianity right for the first time in 2,000 years. And yeah, that's the problem.
Right. I was going to ask about what you guys thought of how does our modern-day denominationalism come into play here? And I think you've kind of hit on that already here.
Well, yeah. I mean, we try and find something new, like a new reality, a new truth. And I'm a firm believer that Christianity, we are regurgitators of what has been confessed, right? We are regurgitators of what's already been there. And that's, to me, something that stands out is that we're trying to find this new, you know, the classic example from our childhood, maybe, is the prayer of Jabez, maybe. Did you guys have that? You guys remember, right?
Yes,
And you know, like, that wasn't childhood.
That's really, so we take this, and not to say that this man's prayer was wrong or inappropriate. In fact, it was clearly blessed in Scripture.
But to make it a
prescribe
whole
it as like, oh, this is the secret. It's kind of an obscure passage, but this is what we need. We've missed this all along. From eternity past.
Maybe you haven't been praying enough to expand your territory.
Expand your territory. That was one of the big.
Yeah. Well, and you have that. Every couple of years, there is a more cartoonish, nonsensical variation of that, right? So you go from the prayer of Jabez, and then you have the Daniel diet, and then you have the shack, and you know, all of this nonsense is this idea that there's something new to contribute, and it denies, effectually, it denies the sufficiency of Scripture.
The sufficiency of Scripture and the consistency, the continuity of the faith that God has once and for all laid down for the saints.
And,
right?
And
I think I quoted Jude wrong there, but you get my point, right? Mm-hmm.
And Luther's whole contention is that was exactly what was happening, but that was not his fault. that the Roman Catholics, with their prayers to the saints and the worship of Mary and the masses for the dead and all of these innovations that probably are within 200, 300, 400 years of Luther, you know, towards the end of what we call the Dark Ages and before the Scholastic, things were getting a little bit weird in the Roman Catholic Church. And he said, no. Those are the innovations we're rejecting, mm-hmm. but we keep everything that teaches the faith. The church in history didn't get it wrong. We are trying to be the church of history.
And that's what he says is there, and it's basic enough for the seven-year-old child to know and understand. Yep. That's what he's meaning when he says that.
Yep.
And so, Luther's whole deal was he didn't want to be called Lutheran because, again, he didn't want it to be starting a new church and he didn't want it to be about one man. His whole thing, and obnoxious Lutherans are doing this now, is call yourselves evangelical Catholics, that you are the Catholics of the gospel. But the term Catholic just means universal. It's why we try to refer to the Roman Catholics as the sect and not just Catholicism.
Right. Yeah, so there's, I think even now, in our denominations, we need to maybe avoid the added on above, over and above scripture to keep coming back to the Word of God. And I love how Luther talks about what is the definition of the church. And
Seven-year-old.
Yeah. And just the idea of being a Lamb of God.
A Lamb who hears the voice of the... And so the voice of Jesus is the voice of the gospel. Yeah. And that's what Luther's getting after, is it's not some mystical, I need to determine God's will, go out into the desert and, you know, have some ecstatic experiences. No, the sheep who hear the call of the shepherd are those whom the Holy Spirit carries the gospel to their hearts and creates faith. Mm-hmm. That's the church.
Beautiful. Yep.
Which means that everywhere the gospel is preached, received, and believed, there's a church. A church is planted when that happens. And that's the story of the book of Acts.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting, you know, the holiness does not consist of surplices, tonsures, long albs, or other ceremonies of theirs as they've invented over and above the Holy Scriptures. We could translate that into American language. Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't consist in band t-shirts and skinny jeans and flannel. It doesn't consist
in smoke machines.
What's up, church fan?
It's saying all the stuff that doesn't point to Jesus.
Yeah.
What is it? It just happens to be. It can be neutral or it can be unhelpful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or $3,000 hoodies. Wasn't that a Stephen Furtick thing a few months ago? You know, those kind of things. But even, you know, and we'll be talking about this next episode, it's not even the things that are church familiar that make up the church, that we distinguish the existence of the church from the adiaphora, from the things that are not laid out in Scripture, but even aren't, you know, unhelpful, that the helpful things, the church consists of the people who are called by the gospel, who believe the gospel, and who receive the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's the church. And then the church shows up in localities because you have groups of believers. And so the, you know, kind of another one of the more obnoxious GAC-isms that exist is the whole, we are the church, we don't go to church, we are the church.
Is it on the same par as
we are the church?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but it denies...
It's about a relationship, not religion. Yeah. Kind of similar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It denies the physicality and the tangibility of the local congregation. Yeah. The importance that you have a community of believers whom you serve alongside of. That's the whole point. That message, we are the church, it just smacks of American individualism. And when you emphasize the individualism of a personal faith, you end up not with a personal faith, but with a private and unique faith that is wholly unrelatable to anyone else.
Good.
I mean, the church, you have to agree, and this article says it is people.
Yep.
But it's people and community gathered together in the thing called the church.
Yeah, it's people at a specific time in a specific place. It's not just people.
Mm-hmm. Or just individuals.
Yeah, it is people.
As though the church were an island unto itself, you know. And that's even true with congregations as well.
Yeah.
Yes, congregations exist, right, as a entity of the church, right?
Yep.
And that's kind of, in our church body in particular, we emphasize that, the autonomy of the local congregation. But there is a broader connection even there to other congregations and other believers in unity and community.
To the church universal in all time and in all places. And in the opposite error of this hyper-personalization of the church is this propagation of the church in the abstract as an idea where we protect the notion of church, in air quotes, rather than the people in the pews. And so you almost have, it's not even the institutionalized church, because the church is an institution, Christ instituted it, but it's this abstraction that it's some sort of amorphous body that we protect in the name of churchiness, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just to kind of wrap this up here too, of from the creed, you know, I believe in the one holy Christian church, and thinking of like you guys have said, the universal church, and you know, I know we're the Being Lutheran podcast, but we, at the end of the day, we do know it's not just going to be Lutherans. That's part of, that is part of the universal church. Maybe. I don't know.
So do we just for funsies, do we do the obnoxious Lutheran thing? The Church Universal right now is made up of more than Lutherans. Once we get to eternity,
then we'll realize.
The thing that keeps ringing in my mind is, if you've listened to, you know, or if you were at the conference when Gretchen said it might be, we could find out we might be wrong on some things.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think so. not me, but maybe you guys.
We want to be fully convinced.
Well, look, that actually sets me up for the final soapbox of the episode.
Oh, good. We all look forward to this moment, Jason.
Thank you for that dripping sarcasm. I appreciate it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did that sound sarcastic?
Oh, good. If only you had Alan Rickman's voice. This notion that belief is arrogance, like that there needs to be a fair bit of uncertainty.
Aw shucks about it.
Yeah, well, the whole reason you believe something is you believe it's true. I would expect nothing else from Lutherans or Baptists or Nazarenes or Methodists or whatever. If you don't believe what you believe is true, why do you believe it? And so, yeah, we're Lutherans. We think we're right. That's why we're Lutheran. Now, we're also sinners. Might we be wrong from... on a couple points?
Unlikely, but maybe.
The possibility is there. It remains.
How many people just shut off the podcast forever?
Congratulations. You made it 360, guys. But this was the one that broke.
Thanks for listening.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing. It's not arrogant to believe something because you believe in an object. Right? And if you don't think that object's true, you're not going to believe in it. So we can't kind of play that postmodern belief is arrogance thing. Of course we think we're right.
It's a self-refuting argument.
Yeah, because otherwise we wouldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen. All right. Well, catch us next time as we talk about this next part, looking at holiness here, digging into that topic more. But thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on the Schmalkald Articles. If you would like more information on the Bible School or the seminary, please visit flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.